Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Zeke Mackey. We have a few announcements this morning. On the first and third Sundays of each month, we share the offering plate. For today's designated collection, loose cash and checks with Bread of Life or Share the Plate will go to Bread of Life Community Meals. Believe it or not, it's only 2 weeks until our annual Flower Communion service and the congregation's annual meeting. So here's a heads up reminder that we bring a small live potted plant to the Flower Communion and take one home. There'll be extras, so don't worry if you can't bring one or forgot. Remember, many hands make light work, so get involved by signing up for Showing the Ministry in the social hall or online. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community of spirit of love and peace in everything we do. My name is Rhiannon. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever you are on life's journey and whatever your background, will find a lasting home here. Whether you are a child, tween, teen, or adult, you are welcome here. Whether you Snapchat, tweet, Facebook, Kick, Instagram, or prefer your greetings to have a Hallmark gold seal on the envelope, you are welcome here. Whether you enjoy water, milk, tea, coffee, or energy drinks in the morning, you are welcome here. Please join us in the social hall after today's service for a reception honoring our bridging high school seniors. While you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church events, and we look forward to everyone joining in. At this time, please silence all electronics, unless you are about to go live on Facebook, in which case, please like and follow the LCUUC Facebook page to share our mission. You can also visit our webpage to see a list of upcoming services and the church calendar of events. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us on this special day. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people sitting around you. And now, our bridging high school seniors, Ellery and Bjorn, will light the chalice.
We light this chalice for our children, youth, and for all of us, celebrating the flame of faith lit in each of us, honoring the light each of us brings into the world, and rejoicing in the beloved community we create together. Please rise in body or spirit and join us in singing hymn number 118, This Little Light of Mine, which is found in the gray hymnal.
Good morning. If you don't know who I am, my name is Chris Rollins, and I'm the Director of Religious Education here at LCUUC. It's a big day. We're very excited to share with you all our joy of RE this year. When sitting down to gather my thoughts for today, I began to consider our theme this month of beloved community. We welcomed several new volunteer teachers to our classrooms this past year, which is a real thrill for all of us on the RE committee. I hope we can continue to find new volunteers, or perhaps some former teachers would like to return, to keep our RE program vibrant and exciting. As our children and our youth continue their spiritual education here, it's imperative that they have the guidance of the adults of our community. Later this morning, we're going to see that impact between our high school bridging seniors and their chosen mentors this year. Most of our teachers invest their time one Sunday a month, and the rewards are huge for the investment they make. I think if you asked any of them what one of their favorite joys might be is working with the kids. They're investing in our world, and they're guiding the minds and spirits of our future. I'm sure many of us today hold in our hearts the recent victims and their families of yet more gun violence in our schools this past week. There is much work to be done in our country, and that work begins in our homes, as well as here, our spiritual home. We have some amazing kids that are part of this community. A lot of them are sitting in the crowd today. Their future voices will rise up and be heard in matters that are relevant to both their futures as well as ours. Our kids are not watchers. They are doers. And they really made some great things happen in RE this year. I also like to make things happen. It keeps me going when I'm tired, and it inspires me every week to make the RE classroom experience not only exciting for everyone, but worth coming back for. I'm so proud of these kids and what they have committed to week after week. I know that sometimes they might need a little coaxing to get out of bed on Sunday morning, or they want to play soccer, or in my case, volleyball. But I also like to believe that once in a while, they're the driving force that gets us all back here each week. For this reason, I'd like to take a few minutes right now just to recognize a few of these kids from each classroom. Would the following students please come up front here? Ani Watson. You can come stand right up here. River Watson. Isabella Nichols. Madeline Nichols. Kaya Rollins. And Zachary Sinager. These are the kids that came to RE class the most this year. And we have a generous little gift from our local Culver's as a surprise for them. They're going to enjoy a nice meal and a treat. So how many times did they come? It was a close race, let me tell you. I keep a major spreadsheet on this all year. But Ani came 15 times to RE this year. River and Madeline in the third grade had a tie. They both came 16 times. Another tie in our middle school was between Isabella and Kaya. They both were here 16 times. And Zachary, although I find him sleeping sometimes in various nooks of this church, 18 times he came to RE. Please congratulate these students. That's something to be very proud of, you guys. I think coming to RE is very, very important for our program. I also want to thank the kids and the youth in the audience right now. I see a lot of them in the fronts here. I'm happy that you guys come to RE, and I'm really glad I know you as people. Please keep what you learn in RE in your hearts and your minds this summer. You make my job the best. And I want to thank you for being yourselves. After service today, the kids would like to invite you to walk through some of their classrooms and see a small sample of what they have done this year. Please show your support and check it out. One of the ways we care for the wider community and life on our earth is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food goods, which we donate locally to food pantries each month. If you have any food items that you'd like to share, please send them up with a child right now. We have a basket right over here for the donations, and I invite the children to come up of any age today to enjoy a very special story.
Our story today was written by Linda Kranz with help from her husband, Claus, and their son, Andre. His mama and papa share some of the wisdom they have gained through the years of their eager son. Their simple and powerful words are meant to comfort and guide him as he goes about exploring the world. Linda's uniquely painted rockfish and honest insights will inspire parents and children of all ages as they swim through life.
"It's time," Papa said.
"I think it is," Mama agreed.
"John, you started too early."
"Huh? Back it up.
Back it up."
"Well, I have no idea what it's on." "Always butting in." "Okay, let's get back to the desktop and find the right one."
Okay. "Only One You" by Linda Kranz. "It's time," Papa said.
"I think it is," Mama agreed.
"Time for what?" Audrey asked. Papa's voice softened, "to share some wisdom." "Always be on the lookout." "For a new friend." "Look for beauty wherever you are and keep the memory of it with you." "Blend in when you need to, stand out when you have the chance." "Know when to speak, know when to listen." "No matter how you look at it, there is so much to discover." "If you make a wrong turn, circle back." "Find your own way. You don't have to follow the crowd." "If something gets in your way, move around it." "Set aside some quiet time to relax and reflect every day."
appreciate art. It's all around you. Make wishes on the stars in the nighttime sky. Thank you for listening, Mama said. We hope you will remember, Papa winked and whispered. We know this is a lot for you to think about. Audrey did a backward somersault and smiled. He was excited to go out into the world with what he had just learned. Wait for me, he shouted to his friends. Before he swam away, he turned back to his parents and said, I will remember. Mama kissed Audrey on the top of his head. There's only one you in this great big world, she said. Make it a better place. Thank you all for listening to our story. And we actually have some rocks that you guys can take, and we're going to pass out to you so you can go home and make your own rockfish.
An old rabbi once asked his students how they could tell when the night had ended and the day had begun. Could it be, asked one of the students, when you can see an animal in the distance and can tell whether it is a sheep or a dog? No, answered the rabbi. Another asked, is it when you can look at a tree in the distance and can tell whether it is a fig tree or a peach tree? No, answered the rabbi. Then when is it? The students asked. It is when you can look in the face of any man or woman and can see that it is your sister or brother, because if you cannot see this, then it is still night. This church offers us the opportunity to connect with all of our brothers and sisters. Individually and together, we are Unitarian Universalists, building a world filled with peace, justice, and joy. Let us now make an offering to sustain this place that we call our spiritual home. The morning offering will now be given and received.
Thank you.
thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of this community.
Today, we will light two symbolic candles. The first one represents the joys we have in our hearts. The second is for our concerns that are heavy on our minds and deep in our souls. Please take a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or spirit of prayer.
Before I begin the recognitions, I hope you realize the theme today is Ode to the Violin. Nancy and I really didn't realize that was happening until we sat down and looked at the final music, so enjoy your violin treats today. And thank you to our three young people who are performing today. It's such a joy to hear beautiful pieces of music. Before any classes begin in the fall each year, and there's a dedicated few here who are on the RE committee with me. And we've been working hard year-round to make sure that we're bringing forth the best possible curriculum choices and experiences for the youth that attend our church. I'm excited to say that the RE committee and myself are proud to continue to introduce new curriculum in our classrooms next year. We will continue to utilize the Tapestry of Faith, which is found on the UUA website. Our feedback from our teachers and students this past year is that they love the curriculum, so we're going to keep moving forward with it. It's very positive energy in the rooms right now, and I really, really am pleased with that. I'm so very grateful for the following people who are on the RE committee. And if you could please stand up and be recognized. Laura Nyquist. She's our third through fifth grade classroom rep. Miki Craven. Where's Miki? Miki is our middle school classroom rep. Mary Fitzpatrick, I don't think she's here today. She is our high school classroom rep. And finally, our committee chairperson extraordinaire, who also happens to be the Spirit Play classroom rep and a Spirit Play teacher, Ms. Helen Barra. Thank you for bringing your religious education mission to our lives. Helen's going to hold up. We have gifts for all our teachers today, and we're just going to have you stop up at the end of the service and pick one up. It's a beautiful book tote canvas bag, and it has our new chalice emblem on it. So please stop up and pick that up after our service. The Spirit Playroom is a Montessori-based program that teaches children ages 4K through 2nd grade about UU principles and history through storytelling and play. Children consider the spirit of love and the mystery of life in an environment designed to elicit wonder. Our teachers this year were, of course, Helen Barra, Robert Ehler, I don't know if Robert's here, Heidi Peterson, I think Heidi is camping tonight or this weekend with the Scouts, and I know Carlin's here somewhere, Carlin Wagner. Thank you. Our third through fifth graders this year focused on two new curriculums in the rooms. Last fall, they discussed miracles, which centers on stories from our UU sources. They engaged in hands-on activities to discern miracles and discover their own agency for miracle making. This spring, they took a look inside a toolbox of faith. Each class period used a new tool as a metaphor for an important quality in our faith. And if you stop in the third through fifth grade room, you'll actually see the tools in a toolbox on the table there. Our teachers this year were Stacy Chick. Stacy's here. Lucy Glaser. Harry Nichols. No, Harry's here. Laura Nyquist again. Sarah Schutte. And Carol Whiteman. Thank you. And FYI, that was one of our rooms that had three new teachers this year, so bravo, new teachers. That's not an easy age group to jump into. This year, we asked our middle schoolers to contemplate some big questions, as well as affirming and supporting their decisions to act upon what they believe is the right thing to do. And that's not easy for the normal tweens, but ours rose to the challenge. The new curriculum's Amazing Grace and Riddles and Mysteries had our youth thinking and speaking about what they believe in, while they honored gratitude for what they already have. Our teachers this year were Miki Craven, Megan Fetters, Elizabeth Harry, Catherine Marari, and Alyssa Watson. Thank you. Our most dynamic high school class focused on personal enrichment this year by participating in a variety of classroom experiences. The teachers focused on social action and service work to allow our high school youth to continue to deepen and develop their own faith. One of the highlights of this past spring was our own high school class, with the assistance of their teachers, planning and presenting a service on March 11th about humility and their time spent on a service trip last summer to Washington, D.C. It was a powerful confirmation that these teens are leading the way in their actions and their words. I was incredibly proud that day, and yet completely humbled by their message. Our teachers this year were Phil Smith. I don't think Phil is here. Phil was on the video. Kim Soor. I know she's here. And Dave Cicero. Thank you. The religious education of our children goes beyond the four walls of the classroom. I'd like to thank some of the individuals who contributed to the RE program this year in other ways. One Sunday a month, we do a joint RE class called Living Our Principles, in which most of the ages get together and they do like a service work or a community project-based topic. I've had lots of people help me, and it was really difficult for me to remember everyone, so I'm just going to say a general thank you if you've stepped out of service on any of those days to help me run those. The kids really enjoy it, and it's allowing them to kind of get to know other ages, so that's an important part of our community. Whenever we have a happening or event involving Ari and the children, it takes efforts of so many to bring to life these pageants, Easter bonnet parades, special music, and many, many more. And sincere thank you if you have helped in any supporting roles of these events this year. Will you be my mentor is a very big question to be asked. Thank you to Bryn Vukolic and Paul Fackler in taking a leap of faith this year and saying yes. I'd also like to thank Eric Moraine, Chris Prangy Morgan, and Greg Valdi, who met with our seniors during roundtable breakfast this year and helped guide them in discussion of their spiritual beliefs and their faith. I'd like to ask you to stop in the nursery sometime out here and just thank Jamie and Madison. Now, maybe they're going to hear their names right now. I don't know. There are dedicated nursery workers. They've actually been here for several years now. And if you know the history of our church, that's not an easy job to fill. So we really appreciate what they do and their dedication to taking care of our youngest. They will also be leading summer activities this summer for ages 12 and under. So we really appreciate that too. I'm going to go off the cuff here. I'm going to say a special thank you to Leanne Rigoli. I see you over there. She stepped up this year to keep our little church office functioning with very short notice, and she's a crucial cog in me helping to get my work done as DRE. I'm so very grateful she is part of this beloved community and my friend. I'd like to extend a virtual thank you into the cosmos to our Reverend Amy Shaw, who's still not with us until July 1st. But she's always in my heart and in my head. And her support for me this past year has been invaluable. Her enthusiasm for watching the RE program develop and evolve always keeps me going. And I'm very, very appreciative of that. Thank you, Amy. Speaking of verve, my final thanks today is to our choir director, Doug Esty, and our musical director, Nancy Brott. It's definitely not easy trying to teach many young faces how to sing a song in a few sittings. I know this. Where their reading skills are probably marginal at best, even with cue cards. When focus is so hard to find at that young age. But we are so incredibly lucky to have Nancy and Doug filling our ears with joyful sounds. I don't think our services, our pageants, our special performances would be magical without their contributions, as we're about to bear witness to in a little bit. Thank you for your many miles and your hours dedicated to our beloved community.
Thank you, Chris. My name is Helen Barra. I'm up here a little bit, and I am the RE Religious Education Chairperson this year. I'm also a church board member, and I'd like to say a big thank you, please, to Chris Rollins. She has been here for, I think, 3 years now. I feel like it's probably 3 years. I've known her a little bit longer than that. I've seen our RE program grow. I've seen some of the kids grow up here, my own two children. In fact, my husband just drove our one that went through religious education here, and I've seen some of their teachers. Esther was one of my youngest daughter's teachers, and we just put her on a plane. She just got back in from Washington, D.C., and we just put her on her plane to Connecticut. So she's off and flying away, too. So I appreciate your parents bringing you to church to participate in religious education, supporting Chris in her decisions and the RE committee in curriculum. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask any of us, Chris, or on the religious education committee. We do need a few teachers for next year. I appreciate those persons who do intergenerational. Gives us little teachers a little bit of a break. And it also lets the kids get to know you. So with that, we have a little bit of a gift for as a thank you to Chris. And it's for her to go out. And I also say thank you to her daughter, Kaya, who's also grown up with this church. Sometimes your children get brought along with you, not dragged. I know Kaya's helped out a lot. And her friends also in participating in this church. So thank you very much, Chris.
We are now going to enjoy some special music.
can you, Dave, can you lower that one and aim it at the kids? Thank you.
That had a lot of verve, didn't it? That was wonderful. This is kind of like the Oscars for me. Like, it's wonderfully entertaining, and it's running a little late, so just be aware of that. Today, we are celebrating the bridging of Ellery Craven and Bjorn Larson, who are here in the front row, into adulthood. Before I expand on the program a bit that they completed this year, I'd like to share a reading titled We Thank Them All by Mel Harkrader Pine. Some came here looking for solace. Some came here and gave it to them. Some came here seeking music. Some came here and gave it joyfully. Some came here seeking laughter. Some came here and created it. Some came here seeking learning and growth. Some came here and provided it. Some came here looking for a sense of security, a safe haven. Some came here and provided it. Some came here seeking an escape from hectic lives. Some came here and enabled them to have it. Some came here seeking the joy of community. Some came here and created that. Some came here wanting to serve. Some came here and made it possible for them. We thank them all. I feel this reading today states why our high school bridging program works in our own community. The words transcend age, and I like to think that all of us found some truth in one of the moments in one of those lines. Our youth participate in RE classes for many, many years. When it ends, we'll send them off with a beautiful ceremony today. But I'd also like to believe we are sending them off into adulthood with the security to know that not only have they achieved an individual quest, but they will carry with them a communal fellowship for life. Mentoring is an affirmation of that fact. It is about becoming an ally to the young adult and embracing the common threads that they share. Mentoring is not about having it all figured out or having the right answers. The essence of being a good mentor is having the right questions and valuing the time together to reflect on them. This year, we had two wonderful souls fill these roles for our seniors. They will now share some reflections about the time they spent with Ellery and Bjorn. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Bryn Vuklich and Paul Fackler.
Okay, this is my first time up here. I'm not great at public speaking, so be forgiving. My name is Bryn Vuklich, and I've been asked to speak to you about my mentoring experience and time with Ellery Craven. In the last month or so, I've been waiting for this epiphany or clarity on how to weave a beautiful story detailing each event we attended together and its subsequent earth-shattering, essay-worthy revelations about life, personal growth, and connection. I assumed you all worked for a publishing house in the past and would be grading me based on my ability to package the mentoring experience into an emotive piece outlining the most profound moments I had and hopefully we shared. Like Paul, I'm sure will. And then I remember that I'm not Oprah and this is not the Golden Globes. I'm the girl who makes goat videos and such. And it's okay. It's okay to do things as you are in that moment in time. So here goes. Upon receiving the request to mentor Ellery, I immediately felt qualified as an adult as I had recently quit smoking. Hashtag adulting. During our tour of the First Unitarian Church in Madison, I had to stop and ask Ellery quietly, what is transcendentalism and did Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson hang out on this Walden Pond for reals? When we attended Sangha together during the check-in that we do in the group, I ugly cried my eyes out about a recent event in which I felt overwhelmingly sad about and a ton of fear about, and Ellery still did things with me after that. The mentoring experience reinforced the beauty of reciprocity and shared learning for me. Mentoring promotes an air of discovery between mentor and mentee, but it also serves as a living embodiment of the power of connection and inspiration to those who bear witness to it. The Senior Bridging Program was completely voluntary for these guys, which blew my mind. What an honor to be asked to be a part of your life, Ellery, for a few months. I was shown a willingness from her to be present to me as much as I was present to her. And for her willingness, I am in awe. She is a highly capable and willing participant on her own journey, and I have no doubts that she will live life full on and full out. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks. Thanks, Gus. So last night when I realized I had to say something, no, actually, Chris told us earlier that we should say something, but I thought I would play it like I was still back in high school. So last night when I decided to finally write down my thoughts and I was told to keep this short, overtime. Thanks, everybody. So the first thing that passed through my mind is there's an album by a group called Live that is called The Distance to Here. And I always love this title. The music's okay. If you like Live, it's a good live album. But The Distance to Here is, I think, what we're all about here today, because everybody came a different distance, but we're all here. And so then the next thing that passed through my mind is the poem that everybody had to learn when I was growing up and probably still do is Robert Frost's Two Roads Diverged in This Yellow Wood, and I'm just like, no. A, there's more than two roads, and they're not diverging, they're converging, because that's what keeps happening, is we all keep ending up here. So wherever I am, everybody else that's there is there with me. And we didn't take the same road, we didn't take the same path, yet somehow we get here. So anyways, that's what was popping through my mind, and I was really trying to sleep, but it was going on there. So my name is Pajal Fackler, and Bjorn was my mentor. He helped me a lot. I mean, I learned a lot. I'm not sure what it is, what I want to be when I grow up, and he seemed to have focus that I no longer, you know, had. I've been around a long time now, and it's like, you still want to grow up. That's cool. I thought that was awesome. So we tried to, BJ and PJ as we started to think of ourselves, but don't ever call us that. That's our thing. I tried to impart some wisdom from my not growing up for a long time as opposed to not being grown up yet for not quite as long a time. And, you know, wisdom comes through lists is my theory. So I gave the usual list of here's some music you should have heard of and listened to, you know, REM, Janis Joplin, Run DMC, The Kinks, Lenny Kravitz, Bob Marley, all the usual stuff that you can look up on the internet, apparently. I gave him book lists, so there's Michael Ondaatje, The English Patient, there's Günter Grass, the Tin Drum, there's anything written by Terry Pratchett, which is, he died recently, so it's actually now, he's not writing any more books, so you can start now and actually read everything he wrote. And then there's Douglas Adams, who of course is the perfect person for everybody, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, which is my personal belief of what we're all on, is we're hitchhikers in this universe. So Bjorn and I met a couple of times, and we solved world hunger. We brought peace to the planet. We co-wrote our first Bildungsroman. You can look that up in your high school syllabus on what a Bildungsroman is. We recorded a hit single together, and we did lots of other things, which we actually failed to write down. So I had to make up new things last night. So what have I learned? And perhaps Bjorn learned this as well. I learned how to grow a beard. I've never really been able to grow a beard. He showed me beardedness as it's meant to be. I learned you can put a J in any word. It just might not be pronounceable. And you can travel the world or you can find it wherever you are. So in our future, the future that we talked about, because he's planning on growing up, and I'm hoping to use that as something to look for my future as well, it's, first of all, no matter where you go, there you are. From Douglas Adams, don't panic, keep your towel with you. You're always learning. Wherever you are, improve it. And there are no strangers. We get rid of the word strangers. There's just similars. Like is like. We're all like each other in some way. Otherwise, we wouldn't end up in the same places at the same time together. And it's an honor to have been mentored and mentored at the same time. And I've enjoyed it a lot. I look forward to other people also having the same experience with other parts of the congregation as they grow up. I myself am looking to be a mentee for somebody in the future. Thank you.
My name is Ava Craven, and I speak as the voice of the Unitarian Universalist youth community. We have circled with you and sung with you. We have tried to give you gifts of pride, spirituality, and general weirdness. We hope that you will carry forward your knowledge of what is possible and bring the LCUUC spirit into the world. We bless you now with connection.
My name is Abby Lewis, and I speak as a voice of the young adults who have come before you. We served you when we were youth, building traditions and institutions for you to inherit. We work still to build a movement that you can call home in the future. We've tried to give you the gifts of adventure, of knowledge, and of deep living. We hope that you will keep your soul deep and your power strong. We bless you now with tradition.
My name is Jim Hansen. I speak as a voice of the social justice and ministry for earth activists of this community. We served you and all the young people of this planet as we tried to build a world of justice for all. We have tried to give you gifts of inspiration, commitment, and hope for the future. We hope that you will honor your role in the global community and continue the legacy of fire. We bless you now with dreams and purpose.
My name is Chris Rollins, and I speak as the voice of the Unitarian Universalist religious educators. We have served you in your RE classes and in your youth programs. We have tried to give you the gifts of freedom, community, and a deep love of this world. We hope that you will remember what you have learned and use it to build a strong and just life. We bless you now with love.
My name is Chris Prangy Morgan, and I speak as a voice of the Unitarian Universalist Ministry. We served you as we served the congregations that nurtured you and the institutions that embraced us all. We have tried to give you the gift of roots and wings. We hope that you will treasure what you have gained here and do your part to nurture what we have together. We bless you now with this history and leadership. And if the congregation could read along with the blessing in your order of worship. We speak as the voice of the congregation. Provided religious education and youth programs, and we cherish your voices in our halls of fellowship. We have tried to give you the gift of a place to belong, a place of friendship and growth. We hope that you will know that we are here for you as you travel far on your many adventures, and that as you deepen and grow, so too will the tradition that cherishes you. We bless you now with honor for this rite of passage into the world community.
Good morning. My name is Ellery Craven, and I have been attending LCUUC for about 6 years since my family and I moved to the Lake Country area from North Prairie. For the first 3 years of my life, I attended meeting, a strict Bible-based home church in which my parents were raised. Once my parents had the courage to question and break away from everything they were taught by their parents, we went to UU Church West starting when I was in third grade. If you don't know me very well, or at all, I love to play soccer, go on trail runs, hang out with my friends and family, travel and experience new things, and be outside, preferably on a beach somewhere warm. Before delving deep, I would like to thank my mom, Miki, for being my sounding board and giver of advice, my dad, Jeremy, for always being realistic and telling me the truth, and my sister, Ava, for continuously making me laugh and teaching me how to live in the moment. Thanks, guys. So here we go. As I graduate from high school, many of my friends have already chosen a religion to follow, usually that of their parents, and cling to tightly held beliefs. Others, having grown up never going to church, have not sought one out. I'm still working and shaping my ideas, searching for beliefs to guide me when I'm an adult. Part of me thinks I will always be searching, never quite satisfied that I've landed on an endpoint or a final decision. I'm really bad at making decisions. Generally, in life, I keep my options and interests open. I've always been involved in a lot of different activities, never really discovering that one sport or club or school subject or even friend group I truly have a passion for, something or someone I would do or be friends with for the rest of my life. Coincidentally, thanks to my parents and this church, I have a doubting, questioning mind that allows me to thoroughly enjoy a lot of different beliefs, things to do in life, and people to surround myself with. As many of you probably know, however, this is both a blessing and a curse. There's a part of me that is jealous of my friends, who are so confident both in what they believe and what they believe is right. There are times I've envied their large and active youth groups and have even attended several of their Young Life events out of curiosity. Their minds seem so settled and content in their beliefs. A bigger part of me, however, is grateful that I'm able to figure out for myself what I believe, which may be more effective and beneficial than participating in religion as a complacent follower. I have never considered myself religious, but rather someone who knows what she doesn't believe, probably a product of being raised to think critically and logically by my engineer father and statistics-loving mother. While I remember learning about and visiting other churches through the neighboring faith class in middle school, it wasn't until just this past year or so that I started to think about what I personally believe. My parents never forced me to go to church, never forced their personal beliefs on me, nor asked much of me on a religious basis, which allowed me to push my thoughts about religion aside. Then I took AP United States Government, started to keep up with the news, took an eye-opening sociology class, repeatedly clashed with an evangelical Christian classmate in American literature, and read a slew of creation myths in World Lit. I started to question my friends about what they believed and found correlations between their answers and the political beliefs they held. A large part of my sociology class earlier this year consisted of an interesting project. I was instructed to put myself in a situation or experience something new where I would be uncomfortable. For some reason, I immediately thought of religion. I chose to attend a church service at Community Crossing, an evangelical Christian church in Genesee Depot. After the service, I interviewed my best friend Abby and her dad, who was the church's founder and pastor. I know their family better than anyone, so I knew going into the interview roughly what they believed spiritually and politically. To be brief, the interview was a bit startling. Not only did she fail to clearly answer a single question, but all her responses created a sort of circular pattern, as if she were just trying to confuse me. It seemed to me, at least, that she was stuck in a box with sharp edges and just one opening, one right belief. Though confident in her answers, they were formulaic, with no personal twist on the beliefs of those she surrounds herself with. From that interview, I realized that my religious beliefs are impacted more than anything by my political beliefs. Given all of this, what do I currently believe today at age 18, on the cusp of graduating high school and heading to college? I believe creation myths are just that, myths. They are stories created by people on this amazing planet our species, along with so many others, get to call home. They teach us lessons on values and morals of society, how mountains, sky, rivers, fire, and berries were created in order to explain the unexplainable. In particular, I believe all different creation myths do not separate people in faith, but show us that we are all very similar in our origins. Iroquois creation myth, for example, states that Raven, a servant of the Cloud King, created man from clamshells. The Bible states that God created man, Adam, from dust, and woman, Eve, from a rib bone of Adam. Even between these two very different religions, man is created from nature. I believe nature is amazing and spiritual all on its own. I don't believe there is or isn't a God in the traditional sense of God as an all-knowing, all-powerful being. I do believe that the principle about the interconnectedness of humanity is a representation of God, the spirit that connects humanity and the world around us. Personally, I believe that this God figure displays this interconnectedness of humanity through wind. I imagine Winnie the Pooh from when I was younger and think about cartoon wisps of air with red, orange, and green leaves blowing around the characters in the forest, connecting the essence of all creatures. Similarly, I believe in fate. Nothing is a coincidence. Whether it be walking into a restaurant minutes before there's a line out the door, really, really great luck, or my mom running into multiple people from the town in which she grew up and every part of her life today, I believe fate is at play.
I believe that the word faith can be interpreted in many different ways by many different people, and I welcome those differences. For me, faith means trust and hope in humanity, my family, my friends, and my community. For me, faith does not equate to blindly adhering to a set of guidelines or beliefs. I believe in welcoming interpretation, possessing an open mind, and acceptance of differing points of views. I believe in the power of a good hug and selfless people who work to make the world a better place. I believe that all people are created equal regardless of the color of their skin, economic status, country of origin, gender, or dreams, and should all be treated with respect. I believe in speaking up when I witness someone being treated with disrespect, or rather, speaking up for those who can't. I believe the earth should be cherished and treated with respect as we were created from it and nurtured by it. The facts of climate science warn humanity that climate change threatens our physical existence. The truth interpreted from biblical myth presents our moral obligation to sustain, not exploit, the creation we have inherited and must pass on. Let us learn from science in conjunction with the morals and warnings of myths. I believe in trying new things in order to learn about different people and cultures. I believe the Bible and other religious texts are not literal but symbolic stories from which we can learn about life. I believe in the feeling of scoring a goal for the win in the 89th minute of a 90-minute soccer game, representing my belief that hard work and never giving up are essential to achieving anything. I believe in advice from my mom and dad. I believe in thinking for myself. I believe in the importance of relationships and surrounding myself with people who push me to be better and who I push to be great. People I love, people I care about, and people that aspire to be decent human beings. And lastly, I believe that religion is not the only way to teach human beings to be good people and possess a moral compass. I want to end this ramble with one of my favorite quotes from Christopher Robin, who says to Winnie the Pooh, "You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think." Much like my growing beliefs, this quote not only shows that what I believe is not the whole story, but that what we are that but that we are all worth more than anyone could ever believe. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bjorn. I've been going to this church for as long as I can remember. Before I start, I have a quick announcement to any deities looking for a new and devoted follower. I'm going to take like 5 or 10 seconds if you want to give me a quick sign. Try and convert me before I get going. Okay, well, I'm going to get started, but feel free to jump in at any time. I have been looking forward to and dreading this day for a long time. Listening to all of the seniors that I have known stand up here and say what they believe, how they think about ideas of religion and faith, has always seemed like the most intimidating thing in the world. At the same time, I was excited that a few years down the road, there would be a day where I would know exactly what I believed and be able to lay it out in a simple 3 to 5 minute speech. I never really felt like I had a good grasp on what I believed, so I was glad to know that there was a date and time planned out for exactly when I would have it all figured out. Well, sorry to tell you this, Bjorn, from the past, but it hasn't really worked out like that. The day that Past Bjorn and I were looking forward to, the day when all our ideas about what happens after we die and if there is something bigger than us would somehow unravel and there would be one glorious, perfect idea, that never really happened. I'm up here begging for deities to show me a sign. Still time, by the way, if any deities are listening. Even non-denominational orbs of light, anything. Just let me know. Every speech needs a good metaphor, so I spent a lot of time trying to figure out one that would perfectly encapsulate my attempts to figure out what I believe and really give the speech a solid backbone. Here's what I got. My faith is like a crossword puzzle that I'm trying to do in my head. My family has gotten really into doing the New York Times crossword puzzles this year, so I have a lot of experience with solving crosswords. But if I can't look at the clues and look at the puzzle, I'm hopeless. Sure, I can get a couple of the easy clues, but then there will be 5 letters, Raisin Capital of the World. It's Selma, California, if you're wondering. And I'm toast. It's the same way with my ideas about faith. There are things that I can figure out pretty easy, like it's not good to hurt people and you should care for others. But then there are these hard questions, like what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Really, who do the puzzle editors expect to know these? I'm really proud of this metaphor, too, because it also explains how I think about finding the answers. Whenever I'm stuck on a crossword, all I have to do is bring out the crossword app at school and ask friends. Now, none of my friends have all the answers, but each is able to get one or two words in the puzzle. Some of their answers and some of mine are probably wrong, but eventually, usually, we get to the solution. So let me tell you about some of the solved clues that I have in the puzzle right now. I'm pretty sure that most of the times that I feel spiritual are when I'm either playing my violin or singing. Music can be such a powerful experience, and especially when I am just one part in a group of many talented musicians, I always feel like I'm very close to an answer about something. So I probably have some of the letters mixed up, but I'm sure music is going to be in there. Also, nature is definitely in the puzzle at some point. I love going out and experiencing nature, learning about it, just exploring. I think the feeling of going outside with no plan and just finding ways to keep yourself entertained is one of the best and most rewarding things a person can do. So there's 2 big clues. Still got a ways to go on this puzzle, but I'm confident that it'll get done eventually. I want to thank all of the people that have helped me to figure out a few words to put into this crossword. This church, to start. You guys are amazing. And special thanks to all of the people that have taught my RE classes, led my transitions and my OWL groups. You guys are amazing, and you've helped me to grow to become the person that I am today. To Paul, PJ, my fantastic mentor, our schedules, mainly mine, could not have been any busier, but it was fantastic getting to chat with you about the random shiny ideas that had caught my eye every week. I've not forgotten about our plans to get together in a garage and build something. That is definitely still happening. To my family, who I love even when you finish the daily crossword before I even look at it, you have given me so much, and I thank you for everything that you do. And to past Bjorn, I'm sorry that I don't have all the answers yet. But hey, you lived without all the answers, and look how you turned out. Okay, this is getting a little too meta. I better stop before I start confusing myself. Thank you all.
Let's congratulate Bjorn and Ellery for we had a couple gifts to give our seniors who are leaving us. It's a chalice and a UU handbook, so they can always remember what they learned here. And I know that their journey started long ago, way before they even stepped in the doors here. So we have a couple of special bouquets for their parents. And I'd like to recognize Ellery's parents, Miki and Jeremy Craven. And then I'd like to recognize Sue Lewis and Eric Moran. Please go. Eric Larson, I'm sorry. I forgot my notes. Eric Larson. And we are now going to sing hymn number 1064, Blue Boat Home, and we're dedicating it to Ellery and Bjorn.
We extinguish this chalice here that it might glow gently in our hearts. May it light your path as you leave this place. May it guide your way until we are together again.